Hello, everybody. Andrei Kachaturian of the Armenian Sports News Podcast, joined with Jason Taktajian. We are recording this today on Tuesday, May 20th. Jason, look at us on a weekly schedule. How exciting is that?
Hey, hopefully we can continue this because I really do enjoy doing this podcast with you. Enjoy talking about Armenian sports, especially because right now it does feel like a lot of things are ramping up and we're getting closer to just more competitions that are going on. I know we've been kind of teasing it over the past couple of weeks, but just really it does feel like we're entering another busy time for Armenian sports.
Oh, it's very, very busy. And before we get into that, let me just remind all our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube page. Press the subscribe button now and keep tabs on it because you need to be getting notifications from our YouTube page because we have a lot of great original content out from recently. We had a nice little exclusive with Hominet Men Ararat in Glendale, California, and how they've been shaping Armenian youth with sports and activities and growing true leaders. Very good interview with Henrik Sardarbegyan, who's one of the executive board members of the of Ararat in Glendale. Just a really cool backstory there. And what else do we have? And we have a bunch of great interviews with members of the Armenian lacrosse team, which we'll be also gathering more of when the Heritage Cup takes place this week. They will actually, Jason, the both men's and women's teams will be visiting the Armenian American Museum, the Armenian Museum of America, in Watertown, Massachusetts, before the tournament on Thursday. I'll be there to gather some content. That'll be a cool experience. And then after that, they're going to be served a nice dinner at the Akum here. Yeah, that's going to be exciting stuff. They're going to visit elementary school, talk to some first, second, third, and fourth graders. Which is always exciting. So it'll be a nice week for the lacrosse team. Good exposure for them as they, continue to grow. The men's team will be in their third international tournament. The women's will be in their debut tournament as both coaches, the men's and women's coach, Johnny Moradian from the men's side and Morgan Radners from the women's side, have both said their end goal is LA 28. And let's start with that, Jason, the Heritage Cup. Again, the lacrosse was admitted as an Olympic sport for the 2028 Olympics. So now we have both Armenian men's and women's teams establishing a national team and competing in these tournaments. So it's a big first step for both squads.
I would say it's a big first step, and it's really nice and convenient for us as well for that tournament, this tournament to be held in Boston. Like you said, you're gonna be there with your camera equipment, and you're gonna be able to document this because it's pretty historic. It's both coaches have been candid to you saying that they're aiming for the Olympics, and that would just be so sweet to just be able to have nothing turn into an Olympic team competing in the Olympics in Los Angeles within what, 4 years? Less than 4 years, pretty much at this point. So that's really exciting just to see them already also have those community events planned out too, to go and tour the museum and be with the community and kind of make that bond as well to grow the sport of lacrosse.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking to the youth, it's always big to engage the youth because that's the future of Armenians, and you want them to be involved in these sports and be the next generation. And I think there's great potential for the Armenian lacrosse team, especially because there are so many great athletes in the diaspora. I actually think the women's team will have a better shot than the men's team to qualify because of how much easier it is for a female Armenian to get citizenship in Armenia to actually be able to compete for a national team versus a male athlete who, there's obviously always that the question about the military and how do you get surpass that, and sometimes it's a financial obligation. But for the women, it's they don't have to go through that. They can just get citizenship much easier. So, but and it's also their first go around. We don't know what to expect. I spoke with Morgan Radner. You can watch that whole interview. She's the head coach of the Armenian women's national lacrosse team. And she said, we don't know what the expectations are going to be, but the end goal is LA 28. But they'll have a pretty good idea of what their team is after this coming weekend, when their tournament begins on Saturday when they take on Dominican Republic. Morgan told me the team hasn't even been in the same room together. The players haven't even met. They will meet on Thursday, and they'll have a couple practices
Really?
Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday they're going to be thrown into the fire. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
This is so interesting. If it wasn't for Armenian sports and our interest in sports, when do you get the opportunity to witness the birth of these sort of teams? It's not just, lacrosse, it's also hockey that we've experienced this with. But now, we get to do this again with lacrosse, and what if they just shock the world? We'll have to wait and see. That's what makes this so exciting, just to see what they might be able to accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they absolutely can. They have the potential. And you know, it's it the best part of it is we get to follow it from the infancy. And this tournament that's taking place this weekend is kind of like a March Madness style bracket. So we don't know who else Armenia, both the men's and women's team, will face after their first round matches. The only things we do know is the men's team begins on Friday against the U.S. Virgin Islands, which you would assume Armenia should be able to beat, a small island nation that's
Nice
part of
vacation spot, right?
very great vacation spot. My wife and I went there in January, actually. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of the world.
Nice.
But I don't know how good they are in lacrosse. We'll find out on Friday, I guess. And Saturday is, again, we mentioned the women's team played the Dominican Republic. Now it's bracket style, so whoever they win, they'll I believe the men, if they win, they face the winner of Puerto Rico and Mexico, two other very beautiful vacation spots.
I
So
was gonna say, these are just some beautiful like beach destinations. Some
exactly, yeah. So
very, very in tune with hockey.
well,
Or
lacrosse.
what am I saying? Hockey, lacrosse,
Yeah.
yeah.
Which is basically like hockey with the sticks on the ground.
Yeah. I mean that's I guess one way to segue to the next thing.
A stick and ball sport.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll keep a close eye on all of that. We don't know who Armenia will face, but we will have full coverage for the men's and women's tournament throughout the weekend. And hopefully on Memorial Day, Armenia will be hoisting a trophy. I don't know what the trophy is going to be called, but the Heritage Cup trophy. I guess it's called the Heritage Cup. Hopefully they'll be
Yeah.
hosting the Heritage Cup. It'll be a good launching pad for Armenian lacrosse. But Jason,
Yeah.
that's not the only big event going on in the world of Armenian sports as we approach June now, is it?
No, we got the good old Dream Nations Cup coming up.
Yeah, speaking of stick and ball sports, you have the Dream Nations Cup, which is a hockey tournament taking place in New Jersey and will feature Armenia HC, which, again, I mention this every time. This is not the official national Armenian hockey team that we saw compete at the IIHF World Championships. This is the Armenian Heritage Team, which consists of diasporan Armenians in North America. And they will be competing in a round robin style tournament against, had this open right here.
We got
They begin
Egypt first.
May 28th against Egypt, May 29 against Puerto Rico, and May 30 against First Nations, which I believe is an indigenous team, Native American type of indigenous team. So that will all be taking place in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Another good opportunity to help grow the sport of hockey in Armenia.
I agree. Hockey is a sport that in the East Coast of the United States, Canada, it's a huge sport. And obviously we know that our hockey, the Armenia has its own hockey team already. And that's kind of been developed with the help of the Armenian government and some Russian investors. But the truth is, Armenian diaspora is big. We have a lot of people who want to play, and there's a lot of athletes in the Armenian diaspora. And these guys are, again, we mentioned it in the last podcast, but we could say it again multiple times. These guys deserve a lot of credit for being kind of the ignition for the national team that we have today. And they deserve a Netflix series or a Disney movie or whatever movie. Some Hollywood executive needs to pick this up and do some sort of movie with it. We need a good sports movie nowadays. This would be great.
You're onto something here, because when the Armenia HC first started, the national hockey team wasn't even a thought at the time. This was maybe 2, 3 years ago when they banded together and competed in the LATM Cup, which was an NHL sponsored international tournament for countries that are developing in hockey. And Armenia competed in that, and they finished, I believe they won one of the divisions. So
Yes.
it was the launching pad for the IIHF team, which, again, composed of Armenian citizens, and they're the ones who hosted the IIHF Division Four World Championship in April and finished second place. But this will be fun to watch. Another a great sporting event that we'll be keeping an eye on here at Armenian Sports News. Speaking of stick and ball sports, Jason, tennis is another big one, and the French Open's about to begin on May 26th in Roland Garros. And you have the usual Armenian suspects competing on the men's side, Garen Khachanov, and on the women's side, Elina Avanesyan.
That's right. And these usual suspects need to have a sort of unusual performance in the sense that they haven't really been doing that much recently. I know that Khachanov recently had a semifinal appearance in April in the Barcelona Open, but I
Barcelona.
think that's just about it. He's obviously run into some really, difficult opponents, most notably Mr. Carlos Alcaraz in the first round of what was it, the Italian Open?
Yes.
And got knocked out in three sets. So yeah, I get it. There's sometimes the roll of the dice, luck of the draw doesn't go these tennis players' ways, and they have to kind of ride it out. But this is a good opportunity for Khachanov and obviously for Avanesyan as well to kind of just get something going underneath them. For Khachanov, I mean, it'd be nice to see him advance at least past two rounds. That's what I would hope to see him do here in Roland Garros.
So how did he do last year? I'm looking at it. Roland Garros, he lost in the round of 64 to a lucky loser, Joseph Kovalik. Like, that's a match he should have won.
Right.
And then he went to the Wimbledon, lost again in the second round of 64 to a qualifier, Quentin Halas. Not a good performance again. And then the US Open, he flamed out in the first round to Daniel Evans, guy I've never heard of. So he has been performing very poorly in these major tournaments, especially in 2024. And then in the Australian Open, the most recent major tournament, made it to the third round, but lost to a guy should have beat again, unranked Alex Mickelson, American guy. So a lot of matches that he should be winning and he's not. So and then he gets to these other big tournaments like the Indian Wells. Tough second round loss in the Dubai Open, lost again to Stefanos Tsitsipas. How many times are we going to see Khachanov lose to Tsitsipas again? But I guess
True.
the Barcelona Open was a good barometer because he made the semifinals, and it is on a clay court, which is where the French Open Roland Garros is going to be on, and he did make the semifinals there. But until he starts proving it in when it actually counts, it doesn't bode well for Garen Khachanov.
Yeah, I can remember covering, him winning tournaments, but they were much smaller tournaments in places like China and Qatar, if I'm not mistaken. Like he won a golden falcon as like a trophy in his last like win. I remember covering that, but I don't remember covering him, making a deep run in these like major tournaments. You know what I mean? It's like I'd like to see, that instead of, the falcon that like his son was looking forward to like
Was that
playing
the
with.
Doha
But
Open? I think I believe that was the 2024 Doha. He beat
yeah.
Jakob Mensik and won a Falcon.
That's right, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he also won a Zhuhai in Zhuhai in 2023. That was when I was on my
Zhuhai.
honeymoon.
That's right.
Beat Yoshihito Nishioka. He's also
What a throwback. Yeah, what
yeah.
a
So.
throwback.
Who are you more excited about to watch, Khachanov or Elina Avanesyan?
Probably Alina Avanesyan, to be honest with you. I feel like there's more to see from her. There's more intrigue as well because, she's still young and is rising and is still at her career best. Like every time we see her step on the tennis court recently. It feels like she's just stepping on a court with a new career best ranking in singles. So that's what I'm more interested in seeing right now. Khachanov is going the other way right now when it comes to his rank because of these, performances. Yeah, it was interesting to see him go up against Alcaraz in three sets, but I don't know, man. I think especially when it comes to women's tennis, the Avanesyan has a better opportunity to make a name for herself than Khachanov does right now.
I have to agree with you. When you look at even her performance last year at Roland Garros, making it all the way to the round of 16, beating a top 10 opponent in Qinwen Zhang, losing to Paolini, who Jasmine Paolini, the woman she lost to in the round of 16, she's really her career has really propelled. I believe she won an Olympic gold medal.
That's right.
She's really been a rock star lately. And so if you lose to someone like that, her gold medal was in doubles. And just clarify that. Now I gotta make sure that's right because I don't want to give our audience wrong information, Jason.
I
But
got you. Don't worry. Talking about Jasmine
yes,
Paolini.
Jasmine Paolini, gold
Yeah.
medal, women's doubles. I remembered correctly. My memory serves right. So.
You got this.
Yeah, so when you lose to someone like that, it's not a bad loss. And Avanesyan, she's been making it deep into these tournaments, like last year's French Open, beating top 10 opponents. She's only 22 years old. So there's a lot of potential there. I agree with you. I'm more excited to watching how far Alina gets, especially since the fact you interviewed her as well, and it's she's a friend of ASN's,
There we
so
go.
we'll see how she does. But right now she hasn't been doing well in any of the tournaments that she's competed in. Flamed out in the second round of the Indian Wells in March, flamed out in the second round of the Miami Open to Madison Keys, first round loss in the Madrid Open, first round loss in the Italian Open. So that's four straight tournaments where she's kind of just flamed out. But maybe that means the momentum is about to shift, the pendulum's going to swing the other way, and she'll go on a little bit of a run here at the French Open.
Yeah, and I mean to be fair, we could say the same thing about Gaudin, but if we're just like you said, for when it comes to the question, I'm more excited to see Avanesyan go on a run right now because of just what we got ahead of us in the women's tennis scene and what she could achieve. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. And let's keep talking about there's so much going on this week, Jason. We have also the European Gymnastics Championships going on
Yeah.
in the Leipzig in Germany. That begins May 26th. And the Armenian men's gymnastics team will have participation in this tournament in the team event and in individual events. I'm very excited about the team event because we don't usually see the Armenian men's gymnastics team competing in team events, but they'll be there. In the qualification event on May 27th, they'll be in a subdivision with countries like Turkey, Great Britain, Italy, Ukraine, Spain, and that'll be fun to watch. And obviously, when you fast forward later on in the week, the individual events will begin, and that's when we'll see the likes of Artur Davutyan competing in the vault, Vahagn Davutyan competing in the rings, Henrik. Not Henrik Mkhitaryan. That would be cool to see Henrik Mkhitaryan doing the pommel horse.
Right.
But I meant to say Hamlet Manukyan. He'll be doing the
Yep.
pommel horse.
Yeah, it'll be his first European championship.
Yes, and a lot of great potential here for these Armenian gymnasts.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm interested to see Artur Davutyan possibly, kind of redeem his last European championships. It was in Rimini, and he had a silver medal. And when I look at it, it's kind of interesting. Artur Davutyan at the European Championships, he's only won two gold medals, one in pommel horse, one in vault. So it'd be really nice to see if he can go three-time gold medalist in the European Championships this time around and kind of make up for it
Yeah,
from last year, getting a silver medal.
I think they have a lot of momentum going into this tournament, especially considering how they competed in the FIG World Cup, just a
That's true.
haul of gold medals in that World Cup series. So now in the European Championships, going into this big tournament with that momentum, I'm expecting another big haul for Team Armenia. And how exciting is that? You know, we just take a moment and just take this all in. You have a launch of a new sport in lacrosse, continued growth with hockey, two stars in Khachanov and Avanesyan competing in one of the coolest opens in tennis, French Open, and you have Armenia excelling in gymnastics at the at the European Championships in Germany. But we're not done yet, Jason. May
Nope.
30th, and we'll talk about more of these events next week when we do our podcast. But we have the UEFA Women's Nations League continuing on May 30th.
That's true.
Armenia taking on Luxembourg, and then on June 3rd against Liechtenstein. Again, if you recall, Armenia won their first two matches before losing their next two. They have 6 points in the standings right now. They need to finish at least second to qualify for the promotional playoffs. But you know, they got some winnable games here against Liechtenstein, and they can beat Luxembourg too. They've shown that potential. So
Yeah.
that'll be fun to watch.
Huge game. Huge game. You're
And
talking
what
about a
else do we have,
huge game
Jason?
here. Yeah. I mean, Luxembourg is the top of their group. Armenia is third, but they're only separated by 4 points. Luxembourg with 10 points. Armenia with 3 points. And like you said, they've shown the capabilities already in these qualifiers that they can beat teams like Luxembourg. Their last two games, where they lost those two games, they were tough and they were dealing with a lot of, adversity and squad, ailments, I guess you could say. They were only had like a few people on the squad when it came to substitutions to begin with. So Armenia had a lot going against them in those last two games. So, take that with a grain of salt. So that next game against Luxembourg, huge, because they win, they get 9 points. Kazakhstan's expected to probably beat Liechtenstein. They haven't gotten a single point in this group. But that just makes, the top three separated by 1 point after what, five games, pretty much. That's huge.
Yeah,
And,
so
it would be really interesting to see how that group shapes out. And if Armenia finishes on top, that's another historic check that you could add to Armenian sports over the past year, year and a half.
especially considering how the women's team, where the women's team came from, they had lost more than 20 consecutive games. It was a disaster. And then now, speaking of disasters, you have the men's national team also. They'll be in action on June 6th and June 9th. Trying to get out of the disaster zone under new manager John Van Skip. We'll be talking more about that as we get closer. A couple of exhibition friendlies against Kosovo, and I believe Montenegro, who Armenia
Montenegro.
tends to always play Montenegro. Tough matches. I feel like everybody's a tough match for Armenia right now, the men's team. So hopefully you get some good results there.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody is a tough match for Armenia right now, just because Armenia doesn't even have its own identity right now. They're still trying to figure it out. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a worse situation for a coach if you wanted to have him there long term. To have his first game be those qualifiers against Georgia, which I was not excited for at all on this podcast. You guys can go back a few episodes and watch that. I was not excited at all. Boom, we concede 9 goals between two games.
Very, yeah.
I don't know. Armenia is just they need to obviously just focus on everything, just getting better on every single account whatsoever. Because when you're that bad, all you can do is get better and improve at that point.
Yeah. Also, speaking of exhibitions, the basketball team will also be having exhibitions June 6th and 8th. Jason Taktajian, you are expected to be there in Fresno commentating on that Armenia Costa Rica basketball game, and on June 8th as well, be there providing coverage for ASN in at Crescent Valley High School against Costa Rica. And the big news from this tournament for today, relevant to the basketball game, is that the training camp roster has been unveiled. So any interesting names there that you're interested in watching play in these couple of games?
Well, two names for me stand out because, you got one kid who obviously everybody knows, Anto Balian, had a huge senior season going into his freshman season with Pepperdine University. It's going to be big to see what he does for the national team, how much playing time he gets as well, just ahead of that sort of season. Same goes for Avan Doyan. Last season was his first season with USC, but didn't really get any playing time. So this will definitely be an opportunity for him to kind of flex those muscles. Connor Esigin is, taking that sort of leadership role. And again, he's still part of that collegiate, scene, but he's one of those guys that is looked at as like a, I guess, veteran, so to say. Not like Andre Spite, but he's definitely one of those leadership guys. But one name that's very interesting and surprising to see in a good way is Gary Chavichian. If people don't remember him, he's dubbed himself the Armenian Sniper. He was part of the NBA G League, first Armenian to be part of the NBA G League. And, right now he's playing basketball in Lebanon for Homonem and Beirut, and recently was part of the All-Star team, All-Star weekend for Lebanon's league. He was even part of the three-point contest. So it's interesting to see that he's now part of the national basketball team. There's been a lot of the chatter about him. When is he going to be part of the national team? Is he going to get called up? And him being part of this training camp, doesn't necessarily guarantee anything, but the fact is his name's on there, and he's going to be able to possibly get some playing time for the national team for the first time in his career.
I'm very excited to watch him, and I think it's a big need for the roster when you really think about having an NBA type of head coach with Rex Kalamian, who's trying to bring an NBA system to the basketball team. What's the NBA now? It's all 3-point shooting. So having a guy like Gary in the perimeter, the Armenian sniper, guy who knows how to shoot the 3-point ball very, very well, I think that's going to be a huge benefit for Armenia and give them some momentum heading into some more meaningful competition outside of these exhibition games against Costa
Yeah,
Rica.
that's true. And he has somebody that he's familiar with over there, Gabriel Ajemian, and also plays for Homonem in Beirut. So he has another Armenian that he's going to be pretty familiar with. And Gary Chavichian has been around, especially in the Southern California basketball scene. So he's played with or against many of these guys and has a familiarity with these guys. So it'll be fun to see, him, especially if he gets integrated into the squad and gets some playing time for the friendlies against Costa Rica. It'll be interesting to see where that could possibly take his career.
For sure, for sure. And we'll definitely dive into more of these the basketball team as it gets closer to June 6th. But until then, it's a lot going on. Keep it on Armenian Sports News on their Instagram page. Follow us on YouTube. We're gonna be on top of everything these next few weeks. So keep it on ASN for all of your Armenian sports news coverage. Thank you, Jason.